Genesis Apollo 9.
Condition green.
We've landed on the...
Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's final broadcast, podcast from the World Series of Mahjong.
Yes.
For one, we have Garth Nelson, often with you at ReachMahjong.com's podcasts. For one else, we have...
Jen Barr.
Jen Barr. And for the last else, we have...
Gemma Kalinge.
Gemma! Fancy that.
Who would have thought? Which is what she has been called for the majority of the time here at the World
Series. No, she's getting back at us by calling herself the very thing that we have called her mistakenly for so long.
Not me.
Well, all right, but me.
I have always called her Gemma, or Gem.
I've almost always called her Gemma, or Gem. But I'm still an ass.
So we are sitting here in the hotel room. At the Metro Park Hotel.
Metro Park Hotel.
Which is leagues down from the Wynn, apparently.
Yes. The Wynn being the place where the tournament was held, a good 10 minutes away, and probably 10 levels of class away.
And we are drinking the cheapest beer, apparently, that Garth could find.
From 7-Eleven, the classiest shop to shop, you know, freshest.
Actually, four cans of Carlsberg for 22 Hong Kong dollars, not a bad deal.
And we are celebrating Garth's amazing victory.
Yes.
At the World Series of Mahjong this year. How did you do, Garth?
I beat... How many people did I beat? A good 277 people, I think.
Woo!
Yes.
268 more than myself.
I was in first place after 277 people. The only problem is that there were 14 other people ahead of me. That also beat those 277 people. And me. Yes, I took 15th place.
Yes, you're awesome.
I feel ambivalent about my performance.
You tossed that.
Can you use words that I understand when you do this podcast?
I'm not sure where to go with my performance. All right, so this morning I came into this morning, I was in a field of 32.
Wait, did you get there on time this morning? Let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about your trip to the Grand
Hall.
This
is one of those questions, don't you hate questions where people already know the answer? What kind of question is that? They're not asking you a question, they're asking you to humiliate yourself, aren't they?
Okay, our listeners don't know the answer.
All right, so the apparent answer, obviously the answer to this question is no! Obviously I didn't get there on time.
Well, I think you got there on time.
Yes, but the obvious answer is
barely.
That I was... Yes, it's the way I always get everywhere on time, which is just barely, maybe.
And this we did not even hear from Garth. Gemma... heard from somebody else that Garth was running through the hallway changing his clothes and ended up right on the TV table where he forgot his Reach Mahjong. The only time, I might add, that Garth was on the TV table in the entire series, and that was also the only game he was not wearing his ReachMahjong.com patch for, although he did wear his Mahjong Time t-shirt. Which is why he had to change shirts whilst running down the hallway.
What really got me was that he didn't wake up late. It wasn't because the alarm clock went off late. It was because he was eating breakfast downstairs.
Yeah, I got to the Wynn a good hour early. And I was sitting in the Wynn eating my breakfast, reading my Stephen Hawking novel. And I actually, as it happened, I happened to meet Oi and Watanabe and their sponsor and Justin down there. And we kind of talked a little bit and we were like, oh, yeah. And they're like, good luck. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And, you know, like, it's getting close to 10 o'clock. It was probably about 45 minutes after, you know, it's a quarter to. And I look at my phone, I'm like, oh, hey, better time to get moving, huh? All right, give me the check. And then, you know, it took him a few minutes to get the check. And then John's daughter, Alex.
Alex, yeah.
She comes down and she's like, oh, Garth, what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't know, I got like 5-10 minutes or so, yeah. And she's like, oh, no, you've got to run. I was like, huh? I'm waiting for my change. She's like, oh, you have to run. All right, can you get my change? And I ran, And I got there, and you know, I have to say, I got on the table that I was not supposed to be at because somebody else had made a mistake. And we got everything set up, and we started drawing tiles, and then I was like, and then people were like, "Oh, ha, ha, you just barely made it, huh?" And I was like, "You know, I don't really feel like I'm that late. What does your watch say?" And the guy's watch said 10:01, and I had already been in there a good 2 or 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes. Okay, so I'm sorry.
So you were there by 9:59.
I was gonna be there by 9:59.
Yeah. You didn't think of being there 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
No, you were there by 9:59 because you ran.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Alex, for helping Garth to not be disqualified. All right,
that's a good move, Alex.
And good.
All right, hooray for Alex. All right, Alex did a great job there.
I also had invited Alex, actually, to our excursion today, which we had to do to bring attention to ourselves because Garth was pouring all of the attention at the World Series of Mahjong as the only white dude left. Congratulations, dude. Garth.
That is the only reason I wanted to win this morning, was so that I did not have to go bungee jumping.
So today we did it.
Seriously, if you had postponed the bungee jumping until, say, 4 or 5 in the afternoon, I would have won the next round, too.
Oh, man. Why didn't we do that?
Your fault.
All right.
You blew it.
So we show up at the World Series right, and we watch Garth win a full straight, which gets him to the next round, and then we just booked it. We didn't want to see him, like, donk out in the next hand.
No. Wow. You thought that actually qualified me for the next round? Yeah. Wow.
Oh, no. I'd seen the hand before, and I'd seen what you'd paid out.
Oh, they hadn't seen that.
No. I was the one watching, and Jen was off doing something else, and I saw what was going on at that table. I was like, oh. And I was like, I've seen a good hand. I'm just going to leave now. I've seen enough.
Yeah, I gotta say, the only thing I was really noticing about that table that you were at is that your patch was not on. So, well, anyway, we saw that and we thought that that was a good hand for Garth, so we better get out of there before we saw him lose one and lost all hope. So we got out, we went and got in a taxi, we went to the Macau Tower, I'm not sure if there's a "the" in front of it. We went to Macau Tower, we got up there, three people jumped ahead of me, including Mark Lim, the qualifier from Mahjong Time.
Way to go, Mark, man. That guy's a team player.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the team, and he's a team player.
No, he's on the
team. He's on the team now.
He's on the team.
Yeah, I'm
way to get on the team.
Mark Lim
not
is
a team
a
player,
member.
On the team. Blam!
Mark Lim is a team member of ReachMahjong.com team. And we love you, Mark. And so Mark jumped, and he wasn't scared at all.
Wow, way to
no,
go,
that
him,
boy
man.
Had guts.
Yeah, so we went up with Kirk. So Kirk got up there, and he was the first one strapped in. Because they use different bungees depending on the weight you are. So all the boys had one bungee and they switched it for me. So I had to go last. So the other guy was JM Go from 3Q1 Mahjong.
Oh, that's right. He went too, huh?
Yeah. So he was the reason. He went for me, basically. Because he had done it before, so he was excited to do it, right? So Kirk got up there. He strapped in. He's like, I don't think this was a good idea. And then you have to, like, hop or hobble over to the edge.
You look a bit like a penguin kind of, like, because on this platform. It's amazing.
Your legs are tied together. And really, the scariest part was I thought that the only thing attached at all was your legs. And actually, they have a hook on your... Because you're in a harness, they have a hook on your stomach. And the thing is, there's a hook on your back, too, but that's only for while you're on the platform, so you don't fall off the platform. And I thought that there was something going to be attached there the entire time, but actually it was on your stomach. And I couldn't see this on all the other people. So I really thought it was only your legs. And then when I finally got up there and I was crying.
No, you weren't crying. You were sobbing. That was weeping. People, you were a spectacle.
So I got up there and I was looking. I would not look down because I did not want to look down and see where I was going to fall. So I would not look down. So I didn't even see them hooking my stomach
on. Oh, wow.
So even when I fell off, because
you
just
didn't
kinda
know,
like,
that it was
no.
on your stomach either?
No, so when you tip over, you know, you gotta tip over and fall off. They say don't jump, but JM jumped anyway because he's awesome. But so when I was leaning over, I had no idea it was on my stomach. And so I went all the way down, and then I'm just hanging there by my feet, and I feel my shoes starting to slip off. And I'm like, shit.
You're making it sound way cooler than it was.
Like, it was really cool.
There was a good 10 minutes at the top of the tower of sobbing and hugging.
No. I was not sobbing for 10 minutes. I was sobbing and hugging for about 3 minutes.
There was a good crowd.
It sounds very similar to me not being more than 1 or 2 minutes late, right? These ideas of time get compressed and expanded and compressed and expanded.
I didn't think you were going to do it, to be honest. There are points where, like, I'm glad I stayed at the top of the tower because Jen's going to need some consoling when she comes off, you know? But no. Good thing, you know, you did it.
So I stand there, and the guys are holding my hand. They're like, you're okay, you're okay. You're going to do it, you're okay. And then I tip over, and I scream. And so I screamed all the way. Well, no, I only screamed about halfway down, because once you're falling, you realize you're okay. And then... You too.
Until you hit the ground.
No.
Once you're falling, you realize you're okay. Did she say that?
Until.
Wouldn't you realize you're okay after you stop falling?
You'd no,
think,
because.
Like, while you're falling, you're still like, I might be dead, I might die, no, I might die. And no. Then you start going back up again, then you might think you're okay, right? Yeah.
No, the thing is, it starts to get fun while you're falling, but then when you stop falling and they start lowering you down, like, at a safe speed, that's when you can feel your feet starting to slip out of your shoes. And then they pull you up just a little bit, and you're afraid they're going to reel you back up, because that would be the worst ever if they reeled you back up. But
that would have been the best ever to have his face while they're reeling.
I would have
I probably would start struggling, and that's what would make me fall. I was so afraid to move at all, because I'm like, if I struggle at all, God, my feet are going to come out of the shoes. And the
What from what height? So when you stop bouncing, how high above the ground are you still at that point?
I would say you're a good 50, between 50, I don't know meters very well, but say between 50 and 100 meters. They say they aim for your lowest point to be 30 meters above the mat that's down there waiting for you.
Oh, and the mat's got to be a good, say, 15, 20 meters off the ground too, yeah?
No. The mat is only like 3 meters, maybe 2 or 3 meters.
Really?
Yeah.
They're cutting close, aren't they?
Yeah, no kidding.
No,
I mean, a mat like that big would, like, a mat that big, only that small, actually, yeah, a mat that small actually is going to prevent your fall from being that fatal that you'd be not dead.
No, I don't, you know.
Not that fatal would be
not
that
dead. I think the idea
is
you don't need the mat, it's just to make people feel better.
Oh, so it's a totally inconsequential mat in
the
end.
Well, that's what you land on, so you do need it. You need it, because in the end, when you go down slowly, that's where the two people are waiting to catch you.
And yet your speed is still enough that you would like to have that mat there so that you don't fall on the cement or something, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, you're hanging upside down.
Yeah, upside down.
Well,
you're
still like going to do a handstand.
Well, if there are
still
people
like
there
five
to catch you,
the
they should be like helping you stand up by the time you get to the ground.
No, you land on your back.
Oh.
They pull you down on your back. And that, when I was on my back and they unhooked, that's when I realized it was on my stomach. And
you didn't even realize until that point that you had something
well,
connected?
I wasn't looking back up.
I was going, oh, look, there's something on my stomach.
I was looking down the whole time after when I was hanging there. I didn't look back up. So they took it off of my stomach, and I was like, dude, if I knew that was there, I would have been a lot better.
If I knew that was there, I would have been a lot better.
I would have.
And
I think I would have
cried less.
When I
was watching at the top, like, the guys, they just went over, and I was like, wow, that's not so bad. You know, they made it look so easy, you know, just tipping off and falling. But Jen, suddenly I was traumatized. I was really nervous. Like, I was trying to film on the camera, and my hand was shaking because I was so scared for her. It's your fault.
So, 233 meters. I did it. I jumped off the highest bungee jump platform in the entire world.
You can
and
put that on Facebook.
I already have. I did that. That was priority before the podcast, was to put that on Facebook. So if you are on Facebook, come and find Jem and Garth and I, and you can see my comment there about how I jumped off.
Off the highest platform in the world.
Yeah.
Well,
highest platform in the world.
Highest bungee jump platform.
Platform,
yeah.
Yes. Are there other platforms?
So Garth made it in the top 16. In the top 8, there were still 2 Japanese players left.
Yes, all right, that's true.
This is Mahjong, yes.
Yes, this is a Mahjong podcast, so I guess we should mention Mahjong a little bit.
It's a good idea.
And since I happen to be talking, I'm going to talk about me.
Okay.
So before you went to your, before and after actually, apparently, you went to your bungee jump, how I made it to the second round this morning, it was a little impressive, I think, because...
Okay, because we saw the full straight, so something happened after that, right?
Right. So actually, the full straight was not enough to get me to the second round because of the other crap that I did in the very, very beginning of that table. Like, two, three draws into the very first hand on the TV table. Like, everybody's just, chi-pon, you know? And so, like, all of a sudden, within 3 or 4 draws of the first hand, the two girls on either side of me have at least 1 or 2 things, chi or pond, and the guy across from me has 3 things. he had chied 6, 7, 8 Sozu twice, and then
6, 7, 8 of bams?
Of bands, yes, sorry. Sometimes I forget. Like non-English.
All the time.
Or even English. Non-English. So he had chied 6, 7, 8 of bamboos twice, and he had pwned Hatsu. So right off,
the
you
green
know,
dragon.
That's the green dragon. Yeah, that's also non-English. So right off, you know, you got to think. Okay, look, the guy is going for flush or a half flush in the bamboos. And the thing is, I had a pretty good shot at a half flush in not bamboos. I can't even remember whether it was cracks or whether it was dots, but I did have. I was going for that, and I was pretty bummed because on my next draw, on my sixth draw, I drew another north tile, which I had thrown on my second draw. So there's already one north out there. And, you know, you've got to think, you know, any letter tile, any honor tile is going to be a little dangerous in a whole in a half flush situation. But, you know, I mean, really, how well am I going to read the table? Is that guy already, is his hand already ready? It's only the fifth or sixth draw. Am I going to be able to read the best way to fold for the next, say, 12 draws, the whole rest of this hand, and already there's one of those out there? And am I going to give up my hand already this early? No. Instead of what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw, you know, 165-point hand to him.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was a good plan.
Those 165 points that you had to pay.
I think 12. It ended up being... Right, no, wait. It ended up being 120 points that I had to pay, so it must have been an 80-point hand. So it was a 60-point hand for him.
160 points.
It was a half flush, double run, and green dragon. So that's
okay, okay.
40, 20, 40,
so
10, 60, and 10,
so
60 points. So the two the two non-throwing players had to pay 30, and I had to pay 120. So right off, I'm digging myself a big hole.
I bet you were pretty much losing hope by then.
I'd pretty much lost all hope. It's true. Because in the first round of that, in the first table of that round, I had only gotten 5 points. So I figured I needed some points to get myself to the final table. And right off, what do? I lose points. And didn't just lose points, I lost a lot of points.
And when everyone is pretty even, that's huge.
Yeah. And so then you saw the hand where I managed to finagle full straight.
Yeah.
And
which
you know,
brings you back up to 120.
It
gets back your 120.
It brought me back to zero, but I'm still at zero at that point. You know, I'm still way behind at that point because I think at that point there were only two more hands to go, and I'm thinking, you know, boy, I'm at zero. Finally, I'm back to zero.
I think there were three more hands. I think that was your
three
first
more hands?
After
okay.
You switched seats. It was the first hand.
It might have been the first hand of that last cycle of that round.
Yeah, that's definitely what it, you had. Three more hands.
And I get a hand where it looks like I can go for an outside hand. And as it turned out, like I had a bunch of lower tiles, so I could sort of go for the three colored runs in the lower tiles. So but the thing is, I also had some honor tiles, and what really bummed me out is that I threw the east tile really early, and I drew another east almost right after that, like two draws later. And had I not done that, say three draws later, two or three draws later, I would have been waiting for east and white, I think.
How appropriate.
I would have been waiting for east and white. There were two letter tiles. But having blown that, I was not, I was wait, I had east. I had one, I didn't have east, obviously, because I had thrown those. I had two white tiles, the one of bamboo, and the red dragon. And then this girl to my right is, like, throwing, she's, like, pwning and chiing. She gets, like, a whole bunch of chis and pwns of wanzu. That's cracks.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's going for cracks, half or full flush. So obviously the red dragon is getting more and more dangerous for me. And as I'm watching, I'm looking at that one of bamboos, and the fact that there's almost no reason for me to hold onto it anymore, because I can see three of the three of bamboos. So if I'm going for a run there, which goes with my three of a kind, or my three runs there, then there's very little chance of me getting that. And I can see one of those already out. But finally, I draw the two.
Excuse me.
So I drew the two. I'm waiting for the last three of bamboos. The only reason I decided that I could go for that was because of the fact that I could see all four of bamboos.
Okay.
I could see all four of bamboos, and I could see I could see two of the twos, and three of the threes, and two of the ones, right? So the chance that somebody is using that three is really low, yeah? So I went for it, and I threw the red dragon. Sure enough, two draws later, that girl that was going for the cracks, she chees her last set. So she's now waiting on one tile. And the tile that she threw out then was the last red dragon. Because when I threw the red dragon for me to be ready, the guy across from me threw a red dragon from his hand, because he obviously knew that was something that was dangerous. And so at that point, there was only one red dragon left. And she thought that the one of cracks that she had left in her hand would be a better bet than the red dragon, the last red dragon. And, you know, we just keep going, we keep going. And finally, the girl to my left drew the last three of bamboos. It's what I needed.
Wow. Mm.
And I don't know if that was as interesting a story for everybody else, but I heard that in the public room, the crowd went wild.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, like people applauded, and like people were like saying, wow, you know, great hand and whatever. It was pretty amazing, and it was definitely what I had to do to win at that point. I had no other option.
Yeah.
I had to go for it, and I went for it, and it worked.
Yeah! Good job, Garth!
Unfortunately, it was only to be that round.
Garth has the best accomplishment in the Reach Mahjong team, which includes Mark Lim right now.
No, Mark Lim was in good company with me.
That's
anyway,
true,
we're
yes.
Very proud. We're very proud of Garth. We're very happy for Garth, and we are very excited to have him represent ReachMahjong.com.
Yeah.
Yes, so not quite the result I was hoping for, but still, actually, when I look at all the possibilities that might have happened, I guess it was not that bad.
So you're coming back next year?
I sure the hell hope so.
Me too. So thanks for listening to our World Series of Mahjong podcasts. We had a really good time bringing them to you. And next year, come join us in Macau and jump off of the highest bungee jump platform in the world and beat Garth's record.
Yeah, unless you happen to be, you know, in the last rounds of the tournament, then you don't have to jump off the super high building.
Okay, you know what I'm going to say right now? Next year, if you sign up for the main event, sign up in Group B for the first day. You're going to start at 4:30 p.m. At 11 a.m., we're going to go to Macau Tower and jump off. And then after that, we'll go to the World Series of Mahjong, and everyone will win the tournament.
With the adrenaline high they're running on.
Yes. So I'm going to put that out there right now. Plan on it.
Crazy.
Make sure you sign up for Group
mother
B.
I'm not jumping.
I can tell. I'll be standing at the top again, waving as you go.
I will definitely have something else to do.
That's right. Hold the camera.
Yeah, dude. I will be camera boy for that.
Someone has to do the coverage for the website.
Exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh,
I hold the camera, and there's a space for camera guy, and there's a space for mic for boom mic guy, right? So, dude, that's the two of us.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. And
yes.
Congratulations, Garth. We are really, really, really proud
thanks.
Of you.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would.